the numbers are going on up.
Going on up.
That's close. Moving on up.
But you didn't say moving.
I know. The numbers are moving on up.
That's what I like to hear. Finally got a piece of the pie. Sorry. All right, everybody ready?
The pie that's in a deluxe apartment in the sky. I miss, there's the lost art of the theme song, the sitcom theme song.
Yeah.
And I miss it so much.
People aren't even trying.
They are not. It is horrible. Lost has the...
Family Ties said, show me that smile. Show me that smile. Sorry. No?
I don't know.
Who's the boss? They had a good one.
I don't think that was Family Ties. I think that was Growing Pains that you were just singing.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, that was Growing Pains. Just... It took us a minute to process, like, what's wrong with what's going on right now?
Because Family
like,
Ties...
Just the two of us, you and I? Isn't that what I was singing? No, you're right. You are correct, yeah.
Family Ties has the one about the, and there ain't no nothing. We can something... What would we do, baby?
Without love, shall we do?
Skibbity bop for all you jazz fans out there. Oh, it's terrible. Hey,
who's the boss had a good one, too? I'm trying to remember how that goes. There's something about, like, had a dream. Or, like,
oh, yeah. You're right. It started off really slow, but then it picks up there with the...
Nothing beats
Fresh Prince.
Well, yeah, nothing. That's kind of where it peaked, and they stopped trying to. Yeah.
Do sitcoms have any kind of theme song now?
They don't.
I mean, lyrical or not?
Oh, A Friend in Life. That's the one that you're listening to right now.
What's up? Oh, you can hear that?
Yeah, that's who's the boss that you're playing right now.
Yeah. It's like, there's a time we lost
a dream or two. There we go. That's a good one.
And you got like Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, I love Laverne and Shirley. Shamil, Shamazzle, Hop and Fever Pork Incorporated. We're going to do it.
Gilligan's Island. Yeah, Three's Company.
Yeah, dude, it's a lost art. And it pisses me off that those don't exist anymore. Fucking sucks.
Making me all sadly nostalgic.
I know. Hollywood, if you're listening to this podcast, we want the god dang theme song back.
Yeah, we want some more coming knock on my door.
Coming knock on my door.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, can you believe it? The internet let us assholes do 200 shows. I don't know how we did it, how we got through it. All the fighting, the dick waving, and the just humiliation that we've had to suffer at each other's fisticuffs.
I like how it goes dick waving and then humiliation. Well, that's a good order.
I dick waving ain't humiliating me. I'm proud. I do the helicopter move, and that gets all the ladies.
Do you achieve flight with said helicopter move?
No, it's like I do it when it's hot, so it's like a fan.
Oh yeah, that works.
And then I spit into it, and like it's like a mister.
And it's all longer when it's hot. That's how the body works. Science. Perfect. I know. I love it.
Congratulations on 200 episodes, guys.
Yeah.
David, Randy, Justin, how you guys doing? You guys excited for 200?
I am. Fabulous. I'm doing fabulous, and I am excited.
Nice. I thought maybe for the 200th episode, we do something different. We talk about something we never talk about. Star Wars. What do you guys think?
I thought we were going to talk about Pop the Magic Trick.
Yeah, but then I thought of this really funny joke where I'd pretend we never talk about Star Wars when we always do. But yeah, we can start with the movies that came out this week, even though neither of you saw either of them, but they were both great. Pete's Dragon and Sausage Party. Great for completely different reasons. One was an incredible family film that shows the wonderful spirit of a child's imagination. And the other one was about hot dogs and buns and vegetables fucking.
Ooh. You had me with fucking.
Yes, there's an animated food orgy. And by food orgy, I don't mean like you hit the salad bar and the all-you-can-eat buffet too hard. I mean like food.
Like intercourse. Food
intercourse.
So there's no confusion. There's penetration.
Culinary intercourse.
I like it.
I don't want to be too vague. I'm talking about wieners and buns.
Talking about fucking.
Talking about getting down.
That's pretty amazing that they got away with that.
Yeah, and the villain of the movie is a douche. Like an actual like douche. Like Massengill style douche.
Oh, it's not humans?
No.
Huh. No. Or scientists?
It's
scientists are always idiots and assholes and bad guys.
In the environment is the villain. It's a real think piece.
I like that.
But they're good. Everyone should go see them. I think you'll enjoy them. But back to stuff you guys actually did watch. How about that Rogue One trailer?
Amazing.
Both of them.
Oh, yeah. There's two of them. There's an international.
Yeah, the international one. I was surprised how much new cool stuff they had in it. Even though, yeah. I mean, it's just a couple lines of dialogue and a couple new shots. But wow.
Yeah, they confirmed Jin's dad is involved in this nonsense, you know. And
for those of us who don't know, who's Jin?
She's the main character.
Oh, okay.
She's the one who rebels.
I see.
Who is her daddy and what does he do?
Darth Vader.
Taxi cab in France.
He's the window washer on the Death Star.
He's a second level programmer who hacked the code.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. It's a cool trailer. We got a little bit more footage. We're going to see freaking rocket launchers going against AT-ATs. That was pretty rad.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
No, it didn't look like it was going to work. It looked like it was going to blow that little the laser turret off its head, but it didn't look like the head was going anywhere.
So I never... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it kind of pissed it off. It looks like when you punch a real big guy, and he just kind of flinches, and then he looks at you with those death eyes before knocking your ass out.
Yeah. That was big in the 80s movies. Like, he'd punch the guy, and then, like, he'd stand up taller.
Mm-hmm.
They did that a lot in the 80s.
A lot of short dudes. That was when Hollywood accepted that the talent was just short.
Yeah.
Question. in the spirit of The Office that I've been watching nonstop. I can't put it down. Every year I watch The Office, and I'm plowing through it right now, but I can't stop saying question. It's cracking me up. The AT-AT, as it's walking towards the camera on the right side, there looks like sort of a paneling that might drop down. Is that an actual like troop transport? Are there stormtroopers inside that would rappel down once it got to its destination?
Didn't you go to the Hasbro booth with us?
I didn't. I was taking pictures and Snapchatting. Is that what it is?
Randy, explain to our friend who didn't pay attention.
So the rather large orange box, basically, in the AT-ACT's torso. It's a cargo compartment, but the toy, you can actually remove it, set it down on the ground, make it into like a little bunker, and you can zip line between the walker and this little bunker. But yeah, it's a cargo pod, essentially.
Add an extra T, or is that what they're called now?
AT-ACT.
Oh, I thought you said AT-ATT.
Because it's cool inside. They're running an AC unit.
Chilled. All-terrain
armored cargo transport.
Oh.
The other ones are more troop transports or more general transports. The ACT has a bigger booty, has more of a trunk, so you can put more junk in it.
My question is, why don't they just fly to their destination? Why would they walk on a very slow dog?
Why's your hurry, man? You gotta live. You gotta see the world.
That's a bumpy ride, and with all those giant steps, like, doesn't it make more sense to just have a dropship and just fly to the location and then rappel down? This seems like a design flaw. Like, some asshole that's never been in combat a day in his life built this thing.
Well, maybe they're just recycling the plot from Empire to where they couldn't get directly at the base. They had to land outside the base, and that's why they had the walkers. Maybe there's another energy shield.
Oh. I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
This movie sucks.
But you know why? I figured it out. Because Imperial Walkers are fucking cool.
I guess, but I still think flying there would be better.
Because Imperial Walkers are terrifying. I remember being scared of that, like, there was going to be like an Imperial Walker like step on my house or something.
But why not just have like a hover tank?
I was a dumb kid.
They have those too. We see them going through like some town square.
Yeah, they might need more firepower. I got to bring the big dogs out. No pun intended.
Literally.
It is a big dog.
They're throwing everything out. They got tanks. They got Imperial Walkers. They got Star Destroyers. They got Death Stars that may or may not be complete.
They got Darth Vaders.
That's right. We got not Grand Admiral Thrawn, or not Grand Moff Tarkin,
and not Jyn's dad.
Not Jyn's dad.
So yeah, he's the asshole in a white cape. Who is this guy, Randy? Tell me who
bad
he is.
Dude.
His name is Director Orson Krennic, and he is a high-ranking Imperial officer, and he's going to be, like, essentially the big bad of Rogue One.
Director of what?
I don't know. Maybe it's the director of the Death Star project, you know? Like,
I think he's going to be, like, the director of an intelligence officer. Like, I think he's going to be the one that has to, like, find... Like, he's going to be a part of, like, the ISS. ISB, Imperial Security Bureau. And he's going to be the one who is in charge of finding how they lost the Death Star plans and where to find them.
Oh, shit.
I don't know that's for a fact. That's my assumption.
So you just can't go to the Imperial Public Library and draw up the plans to the Death Star like in all the other movies?
No, you got to have the password. The password is Darth Vader Rocks, R-O-X.
Do you need a password, or can you just plug a droid into the light socket and get them that way?
Yeah, just stick a little droid penis in, spin it around.
Give it the space aids.
I think it would be sweet if they were actual blueprints and she had to put them in like a poster tube and run around with the poster tube and then drop the poster tube and then get it again.
Maybe like, put them in one of those like pneumatic like air tubes like yeah. You used to have like the banks way back when.
And follow it around like in Monsters, Inc. when they're trying to find the right door in like the dry cleaning
with
style.
Wacky music.
Back in 1978 when they released the first toys for Star Wars, the 12-inch scale R2-D2 came with the plans of the Death Star. And it was basically these two little pieces of plastic. They were rectangular and flat. And they had a sticker on it that basically just looked like blueprints. So they were physical blueprints.
Huh. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. That's the part that's always missing on that figure, too.
Why did R2 have physical blueprints?
Well, so that you can tangibly have the Death Star plan, so you could actually, like, recreate the heist, or, you know, you could do something with the Death Star plans. It's kind of fun to tangibly have them.
So he plugs into the computer, and then they print up on like a dot matrix printer. They gotta sit there and wait.
As it prints every line.
And those beeps from R2 is him saying, "Hey, you like that? You like that? Yeah, I'm good at this."
And it sounds like the lady from fucking Back to Monsters, Inc., where she's like that.
You gotta turn in your paperwork.
Oh, jeez. I feel like such an idiot for talking about this movie for the 10,000th time, and it hasn't come out yet.
So people are saying, like, young people
on the street.
The youth, the
damn
youth of
teenagers,
America, damn kids, they are saying that that they think, just from the looks of the trailer and the concept and everything, that Rogue One is going to be the best Star Wars movie ever.
Oh, shit. I don't know about
there's
that.
A lot
when has America's youth ever been wrong, right?
Mm.
Well.
They are the youth gone wild.
Like, you know what? You know my prediction, Randy? My prediction is going to be a lot of talk like when we tried to pretend that episode one was good.
Mm. I think it'll be better than Suicide Squad.
Everything's better than Suicide Squad.
I don't know. This movie has the potential to be good, and a lot of the more recent Star Wars films in the last, 17 years haven't been all that impressive to me, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm extremely excited about it.
Yeah. I don't see how it could be better than Empire, but that's just the one that speaks volumes to me, and I like Return of the Jedi, too. As a kid, I was at the right age where, when I remember watching it, Luke Skywalker was the coolest fucking human being in the world with his green lightsaber kicking ass.
And fuck the haters. Jedi holds up. Jedi holds
it's
up.
It's fun. I like Jedi.
It is good. You know what I like about Rogue One? Like, I am an Empire, and like an Imperial guy, and this trailer gives us fucking Death Star. It gives us Star Destroyers. We get like Imperial officers. We get multiple different kinds of stormtroopers. AT-ACTs. We got fucking tanks. This is like the height of the Empire. And I just want to see them just subjugate and oppress and just like I sound like a serial killer right now, but I just want them to like just like be this blanket of like fuck.
Yeah, but I agree. But I think there's going to be that glimmer of hope in the movie. I think it's going to have a hopeful vibe to it, which is weird because episode 4 is called A New Hope. So this one should be you know, all bad news bears.
Right. I want the hope to be like, everyone is dead. They are dying in their last dying breath. They're able to just get transmit these plans to Princess Leia in space before Darth Vader plunges his lightsaber through Jyn's spine, ending her life.
Mm-hmm.
I want like her to push like send and like make some witty comment to Darth Vader, like, "Hey, fuck you, breather," and then he just like hacks her down. And then like the hope is that like, oh, we know those plans are going to Luke Skywalker. He's gonna make it all right.
Mm-hmm. What if he throws her through a window out into space, and then Leia's ship, she hits Leia's ship like a bug on a windshield kind of thing.
Holding the plans?
Holding the plans. and to Randy's dismay, she was able to keep her, hold her breath and keep her eyes from popping out long enough to give the message. Like, hey.
I think she has to be dead and like someone, hey, what's that in her hand? Those look like Death Star plans. The what? What's the Death Star?
Yeah, it's this mystery thing that's been building in space for 20 years. How much time has passed
between
episode 3 and episode 4?
19 years.
Luke is 19 years old?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, 19 or 20, I think, is what he's supposed to be.
Man, that's a long time. Are they retconning that in a way to where it doesn't take 20 years to build a Death Star?
No. I mean, I don't know how they can... I mean, all the films are canon, so I mean, we saw him building the Death Star at the end of Return of the Jedi. They can retcon it in that.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
What did I say? Jedi.
You said Return of the Jedi.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Revenge of the Sith. They could retcon it in like being like maybe it's been done for a little while, and they've just been trying to like perfect the super laser. Like maybe they cracked everything but the super laser, and so like the Death Star has been done for like 10 years.
Like we're gonna need a bigger dish.
Yeah, we need to get satellite on this thing. We need the NFL network.
Yeah,
because I mean, between 4 and 6 is like 3.5 years. They build a whole new Death Star. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they only build like half of one. But it is fully armed and operational.
Yeah, totally. What happens if you just open a door that just goes right into space? You're just fucked, right? Yeah, are there signs? How does that work? There's a lot of holes in that there space station.
It's like no safety railings or anything, so probably not. It's like half the fun.
It's like the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose.
So, just picturing some strangers open the door and like it's getting sucked out.
That would suck a dick in a bad way.
Yeah,
anywho, big takeaways from this trailer. What was your favorite part, Randy?
Me too.
You must still be
clicking on your fucking shaman. Unmute yourself.
Oh my god, the worst. 200th episode, we can't have your undivided attention.
So my favorite part of the trailer.
Just gonna gloss over that.
You had to watch it really fast.
I did, because I hadn't actually seen it yet. No, I'm kidding. My favorite part of the trailer is actually in the international trailer. And it is referencing the fact that, I guess I'm not going to call it a spoiler alert because it's in the freaking trailer, which everybody should have seen by now. But apparently this news on the inside about this weapons test on the Death Star came from Jyn's father. So I think that's kind of cool to know. Now we talked about, we know what her father does now, or that he's involved in it. But that was a little tidbit that wasn't. Yeah, it's a little tidbit that wasn't in the American version of the trailer. And I think that's kind of integral to the story.
And what does her father do?
He's a traitor. That's what he does.
He's a traitor to the Empire?
Yeah, the Empire gave him all this money and security.
Anakin's Empire?
Yeah, they did all. They set him up in a real nice place, and this is how he rewards their loyalty, as he betrays them to this ragtag band of rebels. I hope he walked into one of those doors that led to nowhere and got sucked into space.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin? What was your favorite part?
I like the part where she's on sort of that catwalk and the TIE fighter pulls up.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Like
that's
she's
cool
like
too.
She's hailing a cab kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm a big fan, and it's just because we never saw it in the original trilogy. I'm a big fan of seeing vehicles that we've only seen in space, like in a daylight scenario,
right.
You know? Like in an atmosphere.
I about lost my shit when in the first time we saw the trailer for episode 7 when they were flying by the water, And then when we actually saw the movie and we saw the inside of the cockpit of the TIE fighter, that was pretty exciting too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that wasn't a view of looking at Darth Vader's big fucking face.
I have them now.
Where he's like twisting little knobs.
Yeah.
So like weird. He's
unscrewing the cap off of a bottle or something.
I gotta I'm filling my lasers up here. Filling my lasers up.
That's so silly. It never made any sense.
No, no. Can't think about it.
Anywho, what about you, Dave? Was it the May the Force be with us?
No, it was just the return of the Imperial Might. You know, I just love seeing just all the Star Destroyers. Because, you know, that was one of my complaints about Force Awakens was that we had, like, one Star Destroyer and Starkiller base. That it was kind of like, and, like, 12 Stormtroopers. That this looks like it's full-scale, you know, Cold War era Empire. You know, we're going to see Vader. We're going to see walkers and tanks and troopers and Death Stars and Star Destroyers. And I'm just beside myself with Imperial excitement.
Ooh. And Darth Vader himself, the big man.
That's right. Heavy hitter. He's going to, remember I said he's going to put his lightsaber through Jin's spine.
Yeah.
Who was 100% not going to die in this movie.
Yeah, they can't kill off their female heroes. They don't do that.
Well, they want to make this a franchise. That's got to be their goals with, but, you know, after 9, you know, the saga's over for at least for the conceivable future. You know, they're not before they go to 10, they're going to want to try to turn one of these other franchises, be it the, you know, the Han Solo, the, you know, if they do a Kenobi one, if they do, and or this, the Rogue One, I think they're going to want to expand on somebody.
Yeah, but the whole point of a standalone is actually being standalone, you know,
But they're not standalones. Now they're Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, well, how do you think about? We haven't even talked about that yet. When did they announce the new title? Was it with that new trailer?
No, it's been a while.
Oh, it's been that for a while.
Yeah, I hadn't even noticed.
It's been that for like a year at least now since D23 last year. I know
that it said Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah,
it's been a little while. Yeah, but I don't think after 9 there's going to be any plans for an episode 10 if ever, for quite a while, and they're going to want. I mean, obviously Han Solo lends himself better to sequels, but yeah, I think they're going to want to turn these into franchises. You know, kind of like how they did with Marvel. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad idea because anything set in that particular era is fascinating to me. I love it. And by that era, I mean anything that's
a long
Empire,
time ago.
Empire heavy.
Well, yeah, anything that is to do with the Imperials, not the, you know, the Confederacy of Systems or fucking First Order. I want good old-fashioned Imperial Might.
Yeah, you like it when the first farm boy turned into an Imperial Might before the next farm boy fucked it all up.
Yeah. Farm boy girl.
Did you buy the Force Awakens Blu-ray, Randy?
I did not.
Did you,
and
Randy?
I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, now we got a 4-disc Super Edition coming out already?
Stupid. And I fell asleep when I watched it too.
Blasphemous.
I fell asleep when they woke on the little garbage ship, and then I woke up 2 seconds before Han died. Spoiler alert.
Han dies. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, unless you didn't buy the original Blu-ray, I don't see any reason to buy this one. All the deleted scenes from that, which is, you know, what they would get us with on this one, because there's new deleted scenes. Those were all on YouTube like the day the Blu-ray came out. Some of them were out before, so I'll just watch those on YouTube, and then after episode 9 comes out in like 2020, I'll get like the super box set.
Ooh. Of all Star Wars movies?
Yeah, like all 30 of them at the time. Yeah. I like it.
I like you.
Yeah, what about Han Solo? He's got maybe Jungle Fever, maybe?
Ooh.
He's got...
Sounds like Han Taken.
Yeah. The final casting call for the female lead for the Han Solo standalone movie is down to four females, all non-white. It's a very, very weird description that they've given us. So
that is so in your face. I love it.
I get it. Kathleen Kennedy, you know, she's doing a great job of diversity in Star Wars. You know, Jin is the star of the standalone movie is a girl. You know, Rey was the big part. You know, And, you know, I think it's great. You know, bring more diversity. There's rumors that that Donald Glover may be a young Lando.
Spider-Man.
I heard that.
Spider-Man.
He's not Spider-Man. Maybe he'll be Miles Morales. That'd be cool, but he's too old, though.
He's old now, yeah.
Yeah. But I'd buy him as a young Lando. I'd like that.
Would you buy an action figure of him?
In a second.
Yeah, I think I would, too.
I own a Lando action figure.
I own, like, 12.
What does he say in when he sees Leia for the first time?
Hello, what have we here?
It's like a strip of Animaniacs. Hello, nurse.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, so
he's a sly fox.
He's a little sketchy, man.
Well, I like it.
Bet you do. You know what else you liked? You love Suicide Squad, admit it.
Oh, it was so good. It was the best movie. Jared approved. 9 out of 10 Jareds approve.
Yes. Even though he started every rebuttal on the Comic Corner podcast with, yeah, David's right, but, you know, I could see what David was saying, but.
Yeah, the movie's a piece of shit, but yeah. It's one of those good ones where you don't have to wipe so much.
My favorite part was I'm like, yeah, you know, tonally it's a mess. You know, the writing's awful. It's got poor editing. A lot of performances are hit or miss. He's like, were you just nitpicking? I'm like a nitpick is if I bitched it like Deadshot's eye was on like the other eye or something like that. Nitpicking isn't like the structure of the film. But anyways, that's
anyway.
You can listen to Jeff and I bitch about it on the Comic Corner podcast, and I do think you should. It's fun. I win.
How much money did it make in week two?
So week two, it made $43 million, down from the $133 million it made last week, having a 67% drop-off.
Okay.
To put that into perspective, Batman v Superman had a 69%, Fantastic Four had a 68%, and then Suicide Squad had 67% for the third worst comic book movie drop-off.
But $40 million, still good. Weekend, right? Am I crazy? Is that
it's a phenomenal movie. But what happens when studios calculate the lifetime box office of a film? They do the 3 to 3.5 modifier. So basically, they take the opening weekend, in this case, $133 million, and they multiply that by either 3 or 3.5, which would put this at a total of, you know, between $400 and $450 million lifetime gross. But what happens is when you get, you know, large-scale drop-offs like this, which, like I said, it's not uncommon. Age of Ultron at 59%, Amazing Spider-Man 61%, Civil War 59%. It really lessens the legs of the film, and so it forces you to rely more heavily on foreign box office. The problem with the foreign box office Suicide Squad is that it's a hard sell in some markets because it's not an established brand like Batman or Superman or Captain America, and that it's not playing in China, which is the second biggest film market in the world. So Suicide Squad is really hoping to have, you know, legs, you know, almost like a Guardians of the Galaxy, which had a really small, it had like a 50% drop off from week to week. So they're really hoping that the domestic box office would make up for the other territories slacking off. So now that, you know, North America isn't producing for Suicide Squad in a fantastic way, they're really going to need to try to hammer the other markets, and that's just going to increase their budget to where, you know, they don't know. They don't know if they'll make that magic, you know, $750 million to break even.
Mm-hmm. I think with comic book movies, it makes perfect sense for it to have a huge drop-off. Only because everybody that wants to see it sees it that opening week. Whether it's good or not, I can't imagine it having not having a huge drop. I feel like they always have to.
and they almost all do. I mean, the original Iron Man had a 48% drop off. Uh-huh. That's kind of, you kind of want to be in like the 40s or 50s.
Uh-huh.
Is kind of where you want to live.
But and, 60s, you know, is bad.
60s is bad. I mean, but you know, where movies are making so much money their first week because they're marketed. Movies now are marketed as events that you have to see the first week. You know, be it, you know, the spoiler culture, social media, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're marketed as, see this movie this week, and then we'll talk to you about what you just see next week. And so that's what's contributing to these large drop-offs. But that's leading to the importance of the foreign market and Suicide Squad looking to be weak in the foreign market. You know, they're really going to have to play up the Joker in the foreign market. Mm-hmm. He's really the only recognizable character.
All right.
But Randy promised to see it twice this week, so he's gonna boost those numbers back up. We'll see what kind of slide it has next week. typically when a movie has a large drop-off like this to where it's in the high 60s, if they can kind of, you know, restabilize themselves and have like a 24 to 30% drop-off in the following week, they can start to kind of maybe try to reclaim some of that money they lost in week two. But Suicide Squad being such a polarizing film with such negative, you know, buzz, I see them having another, you know, 55, 60% drop off next week. And then it's just at that point, then it's kind of a property that's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enough math.
Yeah, I like math. I'm a mathlete.
But you are. See the Star Trek Discovery details?
I saw Star Trek Beyond. Does that help?
It does, because that's an amazing film, and that may come up later. But they announced the details for Star Trek Discovery. We learned at Comic-Con that it was going to be taking place in the Prime Universe.
Oh, yeah. It's like 20 years before Kirk.
Yeah, so it's gonna function as a bridge between Enterprise and the original series. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it'll take place approximately right in that range.
10 years, I thought, before.
Yeah, whatever. 10 years before Kirk. And I think that they are going to have some kind of flashbacks. Brian Fuller had mentioned that there was going to be a large event that takes place between Enterprise and the original series they were going to discuss, but that it was not the Romulan War that most people wanted. So that's kind of a bummer. He also, some interesting details was that the film is going to follow what?
I was just thinking of Big Lebowski. He was like, this is a bummer, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. You're smoking your Luke Skywalker ganja.
It's Luke Skywalker OG, thanks.
Okay.
And they announced that the lead for the series was going to be a female, but it was not going to be the captain. This was going to be the first series not told from the POV of the captain as the main integral character. There obviously will be a captain, and you know he will play an important role. But
it'll be a ball buster in the cop procedurals.
Yeah, they're going to hate each other and stuff like that, but... that's kind of a fun concept. What do you think about that, guys?
That'll be different.
Yeah, it will. I mean, it's nice to see somebody who doesn't have all the power of a captain getting the attention.
Yeah, it kind of changes the dynamic.
What are they going to be the person that's always on the away team?
I would think they'd have they'd almost have to be, but at this point we don't know anything about what their role will be.
Maybe they'll be like attorneys on the ship and they gotta defend people that get in trouble.
Yeah. I wanna see a 13-episode story arc about Ensign Nemo. The no name that nobody cares about that just like has no friends on the ship, just hangs out in his quarters, you know, when he's not on duty.
Playing that not chess game.
Yeah. Whatever it's called. And they're describing the whole season as a book. And these episodes or chapters in that book.
We're going to have to read.
So it all,
it's like a baby's toy.
So it all leads to one big conclusion. But I guess the important question is, will you guys pay $7 a month to watch this show?
Do I have to?
It's not on CBS. It's on CBS All Access.
What is that?
That's their on-demand service.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's $6.99 a month.
No! Call me when it goes on Netflix and I'll watch it.
It's not going to go on Netflix. It's going to be on CBS On Demand.
Then I'm just not going to watch it. Shame on them.
The pilot will air on traditional CBS, I guess, to hook you. But then, the rest of the other 12 episodes will air exclusively on the CBS All Access app.
That is lame. I'm so... Okay, so... I did not, and that's fine. But I think that we're getting out of hand with all these different services. I think it's getting a little ridiculous. I have Hulu, I have Amazon Prime, I have HBO Go, I have Netflix, and that's a guy that
you're paying for half of them, right?
I want all of them, and I wanted to cut my cord with cable, but it's like fucking Hail Hydra. You cut the head, and then two more come up. I went from one cable to four cables.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's irritating.
They're finding a way to get back at you guys.
I have to set up automatic billing because I don't want to forget to make a payment on one of these 800 services that I have now. It's getting a little absurd.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? Will you pay $7 a month to see this?
Nope.
That's too bad.
That's a problem.
No one's going to watch this show, Dave.
I'm going to watch it.
Do you have CBS All Access every day?
I do currently have CBS All Access.
Why?
If I tell you, you're going to make fun of me. I don't want to tell you why I have it.
Because fucking Survivor or some bullshit is on it.
Sorry, yeah. Yes, I got a good deal.
That's fair. That's fair.
There was like a deal to where you got like 2 months free and then like 2 months for like half price. So I'm in month two currently. So my subscription will end before Star Trek. I think I will keep it for 1 month to see the first couple episodes of Star Trek and then make a game day decision at that point.
Okay, let me ask you this. I don't know the answer to this, sadly. When you spoke with the producers of this show, at that time, did we know that it was only going to be on CBS?
Yeah, we talked to... Oh, shit, I can't... Do you remember her name, Randy? Caden? Was her Heather Caden?
Yes, that's it.
We talked to her. She was the executive. She's the executive producer on the show. And I asked her if, you know, she was concerned about the model and asked her, you know, if she thought that it may eventually go to traditional terrestrial television if it didn't perform admirably. And she didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah. How would you? That's the thing. I mean, it seems kind of like a new Star Trek series is already a gamble because that ship may have already sailed.
Right.
And to put it on a platform that has two subscribers, one of which is getting a free month, it doesn't seem like it makes good business sense to me.
The only thing I can see working in their favor would be if they wanted to sell more video on demand or like Blu-rays. Because, I mean, like you see it now, like, you know, Game of Thrones or, you know, all the HBO shows go on DVD. But if you have HBO, it's
there forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I can't imagine that the market's really there for it. To where this, I could see if, you know, if they priced it correctly. I mean, if they make it $50, then it's done because we'll pay $6. Go for. I mean, because you could do that too. Because once it airs, it'll be there. So if you wanted to wait until the very, very end of the series, you could sign up for CBS All Access and binge them like you would Netflix.
Sure. Wait till they get 3 episodes in and cancel the show, and then watch all 3 episodes back to back to back.
Exactly. You could do that. And so
Netflix does that too. All their original programming arrives on Blu-ray and DVD after.
Right. Yeah. I'd be curious what
the numbers are.
Yeah. What the numbers are.
I can't imagine they're half bad because people come into my store all the time and buy fucking House of Cards and shit like that.
Yeah, but what's House of Cards like? $40 on Blu-ray?
Yeah. 30 or so. Same with Orange Is the New Black. People buy that too.
I mean, that'll get you, you know, 5 months of Netflix, and you can
binge. Oh, I agree. I mean, some people, I think it's the older crowd, to be honest with you. It's the folks that aren't too tech savvy that either A, know how to get that service, or even how to maximize the most out of it.
Right. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't even know that Blu-ray players will play DVDs. Otherwise, why would they still keep buying DVDs? You don't have to ditch your whole collection. You can just, going forward, only purchase Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But whatever. Everyone's weird.
For reals.
Mm-hmm. Alright, well, I wish Star Trek, what's it called? Discovery?
Discovery.
I wish it all the best.
Yeah. What if you hear how good it is? Will you, at the end of the season, maybe get a month and check it out?
Mm-mm.
Maybe they'll even prorate it. Maybe if you get it, you binge it, you watch it in like 4 days, then you only pay for like 4 days of the service.
I cannot see me subscribing to this.
All right.
It is not in the cards.
Yeah, it seems like a weird business decision. I mean, they're really trying to push the network. You know, they're going to do a Good Wife spinoff on it. They've already announced that they're going to do a all-access exclusive Big Brother season, to where it's not going to be able to be accessed. All the Big Brother live feeds are on CBS All Access. So Big Brother fans, you know, they dig on it. I'm not really into Big Brother, but if you watched Big Brother or were a fan of Big Brother, if you're one of those like 20 million people or whatever, it's a great deal because they used to charge, I want to say like $30 a year for like the live feeds, and now you get them free with subscription. For your reality TV people. All right, past. Like the Ghostbusters sequel that's never going to happen now?
Oh, for realsies?
Yeah, they're estimating that Ghostbusters will lose approximately $75 million based off of the performance. That's not counting, you know, whatever it does on Blu-ray or DVD, but of course there's costs involved in that as well. So the estimates right now are that it'll lose about $75 million, and that a direct Paul Feig, a sequel set in the Paul Feig universe is highly unlikely. However, they are still very interested in continuing the franchise of Ghostbusters. So,
what do you think? A slap in the face would it be if they ignored this movie and made a sequel set in the same universe as the original first two movies?
And it makes $1 billion. Everyone's like,
with guys.
Yeah,
with
guys. It'd be such a kick in the nuts.
A male cast. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Oh, man. And I could just see the social justice warriors just coming out of their fucking woodwork and just, yeah, that'd be nuts. But I don't know. Does it make you sad that, Randy hated this one, I guess. So, Randy, does it make you sad that we're not going to see more of this Ghostbusters crew?
I'm not going to hold my breath on them not coming back, because who knows? Maybe on home video it'll do really well. It'll become like some sort of cult success. And 5-8 years down the road, maybe they'll make a sequel then. So I'm not going to completely put the nail in that coffin. So I'm not going to say that they should yet.
Oh, you don't have to put the nail in the coffin. Sony already did.
Well, like, nails can be unnailed.
They're ghosts now.
Yeah.
Goonies never say die.
It's true.
Until they remake that movie.
Anything is possible, but I'm not disappointed, to directly answer your question. No, I'm not disappointed.
Do you want to see more Ghostbusters, though?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Just not necessarily that particular
Would you be open to a different reboot? like a not Venkman-centric Ghostbusters, but like maybe it's a mixed cast.
All I want. I don't give a fuck who's in it or the makeup of. I don't care if they're all goddamn chimpanzees with fucking proton packs on their back. I don't give a fuck. As long as they acknowledge that the original movies existed and it's the same universe, that's all that I want.
Are you talking about a Planet of the Apes Ghostbusters crossover? I could see that.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my god! I think I put too much whiskey in this drink. no, but okay. No, wipe that image out of your head, because that's not going to happen. But yeah, just put it in the same universe. That's all I'm asking. Same universe.
Like a passing the torch type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? You said that we will not see McCarthy and the gang again?
Yes.
We're not going to get to follow up on that whole Zool after credit scene.
I think that with the feedback that they have received, that this would be one of those cases where the sequel has the potential to be better than the original.
That's true.
Yeah, very much so.
That's actually a good point.
Because they wouldn't have to do any kind of setup. They could just hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. They would all quit their jobs and sell their business to a bunch of guys who would take over and be better Ghostbusters.
Now, picture this.
Can you imagine? That would be horrible.
Here's a way to wrap your mind around this. Now, there's some inconsistencies and flaws in this theory, but just hear me out. Okay, what if this Ghostbusters movie was a prequel to the 1984 Ghostbusters? Mm-hmm. It leads up to Zool, and then it takes over with our guys fighting Zool. So the whole thing with the chicks is a prequel.
Write it down. Let's get Tom Rothman on the phone. Let's schedule a meeting. We'll get this chimpanzee Ghostbusters movie and the sequel prequel Ghostbuster movie. We'll get this locked down. We can fix Ghostbusters.
As you were telling your little story about this prequel, I was playing the little piano music in my head. Doon, doon. Like the little mischievous... I love that music.
I love it too. It wasn't released on the traditional soundtrack. I had to get like some crazy foreign bootleg version of the soundtrack to get that track.
And he had to hire a pianist to record it in his studio.
And then it hits the fan and it goes, it's all scary.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, Sony also announced that the planned 23rd Jump Street Men in Black crossover is also dead at Sony.
Thank God. That was a terrible idea.
They're not moving forward with that. But no word if they are still interested in continuing the Men in Black franchise. The Jump Street franchise will continue because their moneymakers and Lord and Miller really like to make them. So that franchise will continue, but Men in Black may be in trouble. Hmm.
And then who does Ninja Turtles and Transformers? What company is
Paramount?
Paramount, and they still want to make that crossover happen.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think they're pretty happy with how the Ninja Turtles are performing. I mean, Into the Shadows didn't do as good as the original, but they have all the ancillary products, the video games and the toys, and you know, Ninja Turtles are basically a
It's a brand.
Yeah, I mean, they print it prints money. You know, they got shoes and shirts, and they're still a popular worldwide brand. So I mean, even if the movie made like $6, they'd still keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been almost like 30 years for that property.
Yeah, and I think that Into Shadows got better word of mouth than the original. I think
I loved it, man. I thought
I think a lot of people were like just into like it, that it was more fun.
Mm-hmm. My man. It's so funny. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. I liked it.
Are you guys ready to go back to Narnia?
I didn't think I was ever going to have to go back to Narnia to answer
that question. I'm done with that place.
Nope. They're rebooting the franchise with Silver Chair, so it'll be the fourth time Narnia comes to screen.
Wow, man. I didn't... What was the... Is there, like, something about a Don trailer?
Yeah, so there was originally Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which actually did pretty good. Did about a little under $800 million worldwide. And then Prince Caspian did about $700, and The Voyage of the Dawn Treader did about $600 million worldwide. And so the franchise was kind of dead because it was costing too much and it wasn't making any money. And Silverchair, which is kind of a reboot in the novel, because it takes place, I want to say, like 20 years after the events of... Don Treader, and it only features two of the kids, doesn't feature all four of the children. I can't remember what their last names are, but it doesn't matter. And Tom will know. That's not it. Doesn't matter. And
I want to know.
Like the Persives, the Pensives?
Percivals?
Pervis? Anyways.
Pontus.
There you go. Pontus. You're shot. Anyways, this movie is moving forward. It's found a new home.
No way.
Disney to Sony and all around. And I forget where it landed, but it landed somewhere, and they're hot to trot to make this happen, and it should be coming to a theater in the next couple of years.
I can't
remember that movie, Hot to Trot?
Yes.
I do, with
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise as the voice. Not, was it John Candy the voice? Or was it Dom DeLuise the voice of the horse?
No say.
What was the horse Look it voice? Up.
Trot. Sorry, tangent. Episode 200 tangent, guys. Sorry.
Sorry. What
John Candy was.
By all right. Cool. Danny Elfman did the music for it.
He does the music for a lot of shit.
Even shitty movies, he does it.
Yeah. No. A fun fact about fucking Chronicles of Narnia is I saw Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe just like a couple of days before we started shooting. Pink Lemonade.
Yeah, it came out December 9th, 2005.
I enjoyed it. I didn't like the part when they shaved Aslan. Yeah, that was fucking sad.
Pavenzi is their last name.
Pontus. Pavenzi.
Percival. Purvis.
You had the P part right.
I did. I know my P.
You know what movie was that? Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. Is that a book series? Are there other?
Yes, there's a trillion.
So I like that movie, but nothing ever else came out of all that.
They're gonna do a Netflix series, not with Jim Carrey, but
I enjoyed it.
There'll be a Netflix series, and you may like the Miss Pettigrew's School for the Gifted.
Probably not. I saw the book once.
It's a mix between like X-Men and Lemony Snicket. And Tim Burton's doing it, so I know you like
Oh, him. Yeah, I love that guy.
I know he's your boy.
Yep, Alice in Wonderland. Such a good movie. I love that Joker, too.
Love that Joker.
I had that poster of him sitting in the beach chair with the bird on his shoulder kind of thing.
Like the crazy fake-looking bird?
Yeah, I had a poster of that. I got it for my birthday.
That's awesome.
My ninth birthday, that was one of my presents, was that poster.
Now I want to watch Hot to Trot.
No, you do not.
Dabney Coleman's in it. He's the
bad guy. I know! That guy was always a bad guy. Unless it was short time.
Yeah, where he thinks he's dying.
Oh my god.
I watched Summer Rental yesterday, speaking of John Candy, and... I did a review on Letterboxd for it, and my review was also known as Not the Great Outdoors.
Oh, man.
It is not.
Oh, he's got a lot of terrible movies, man.
Yeah. Poor guy.
That's okay. I like him.
I also watched the bulk of the 1998 Godzilla the other day.
Oh, that movie's so terrible. It was on Netflix forever.
I didn't even remember, like, the end. Like, When's the last time you saw it, Randy?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, it goes all Jurassic Park style with the eggs and the mini Godzillas and everything.
Yeah, and after they blow all those up, the big Godzilla comes back. And there's a scene where they're escaping from him across the Brooklyn Bridge, and Godzilla jumps up, and they drive into Godzilla's mouth, and they have to, like, throw the car in reverse to, like, drive out of it. But, like, Godzilla's got his jaws clamped on him, and Matthew Broderick reaches outside the car and grabs, like, an electrical wire and, like, jams it in Godzilla's tube. I didn't remember any of that.
I don't remember that either.
This movie, I'm like, wait, what? Am I watching like a director's cut? I didn't remember anything post them like getting the eggs. I didn't remember any of it.
And they made action figures for that movie.
The movie's not good.
The Matthew Broderick figure came with a camera.
Yeah.
How's that for an action-packed accessory? I don't know.
Hank Azaria was the camera guy.
Camera guy, yeah. Where he gets stepped on. He has his little freak out. Yeah.
That movie's so bad. I watched like an hour and a half.
My favorite role of Hank Azaria is probably from Along Came Polly, where he's like the scuba instructor.
Scuba?
Holy shit, man. And then when Ben Stiller has to ride along on his little moped with him to the airport. That was just fantastic.
Scuba?
He's Harkmel, you know.
It is like the story of the hippopotamus. Fucking hilarious. And I liked him in Night at the Museum 2, where he was like he was raw. And he's like, if you speak again, I will murder you where you stand. That was fantastic. That movie was terrible, but that 60 seconds was just hysterical.
Yeah. Did you ever see Run, Fat Boy, Run?
I did.
The Simon Pegg movie. He's the bag, the like the doucher in that movie.
He's the boyfriend of the ex-wife.
Yeah. He's Tandy Newton's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, you know who directed Run, Fat Boy, Run?
I want to be her boyfriend.
David Schwimmer.
I did not know that.
It was written by Michael Ian Black and Simon Pegg. It's a pretty impressive lineup there, but...
I like the movie. Yes. Oh my god, the woman in that, the landlord's daughter, smoking hot.
India de Beaufort.
That is her. I think she might very well be the hottest woman on the planet.
In no world would she ever be considered not good looking.
I don't know.
Fuck you.
I'm kidding.
No Anne Hathaway.
I remember being smitten. When she's on screen for like 30 seconds in that entire movie, my blood pressure rose a little bit.
Yeah.
My heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Oh my god, we didn't even talk about the Oceans remake. You guys have a second?
Oh yeah, this Ghostbusters spinoff.
Yeah, Oceans 8 with Sandra Bullock. They announced that Anne Hathaway and Rihanna were going to join the cast now. So.
Oh shit, how many of the 8 do we have?
I think we have all 8 now.
Does she count as one of the 8, Sandra Bullock? Or is she 9? Is she mighty number 9?
She counts as 8, which is weird because Danny Ocean counts as the part of the 11.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make any sense now that I say that out loud. Yes, we do have, and if you waste some time, I can look up who the other 8 are.
Who's Awkwafina? Is a water bottle?
Awkwafina booty sweat.
Is somebody named Awkwafina in this?
All right, so we got Sandra Bullock, we got Kate Blanchett, we got Helen Bonham Carter, we got Mindy Kaling, we got Rihanna,
we got
Anne Hathaway, we got Nora Lern, and
Awkwafina. Spelled the way it sounds phonetically.
you're talking about that. That's funny. And then there's been rumors that Elizabeth Banks will be in it as well.
Oh, what about Helen Mirren?
Did I not say her?
You said Helena.
Oh yeah, Helen Bonham Carter and Kate Blanchett.
Is it Helena? Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes.
Helena.
Did I say Helena?
No, this is what I said. Because I'm an asshole.
Yeah. It's good to see Mindy Kaling getting a...
Love her. I adore her.
She's funny.
That's 2 Indian women that I'm attracted to now.
Oh, yeah?
Who knew that was possible?
Yeah, yeah. you're maturing. You're maturing.
I know. But I was in a building in my college years. I was the one white amongst several hundred Indian folk, and my pores.
Well, that's why you like curry.
Smell the curry. No matter where I went, I was just a walking curry bag. It was awful.
You were a curry bag. Sounds dirty.
Yeah. Like a flea bag, but made of curry.
Nice.
I can't even eat Indian food because of it. It's like forever ruined me.
Forever unclean.
Yes. Forever unclean. Oh, it's so gross. I can't do it.
Nice.
Well, she's so funny and beautiful. I love her, though.
Yeah, I agree. You guys got anything else to add for our 200th episode?
Other than the movies? The movies? No. The motion picture
show? Oh, yeah. Figure we'd, since it was our 200th episode, we'd reach out on the Bookface to see what your favorite movie of the summer was. And Randy was going to track that for us. So, Randy, what did the peeps say on the Facebook there?
Well, let's see. I had a couple of responses on mine, but I think the lion's share came in on Justin's.
All right. What are they saying on your Facebook?
All right. Me?
Either one. Whoever's ready.
So now that summer's over, yes. The question was, the topic was, share your favorite summer 2016 movie, and we'll read it on the show. So Jeremy Caverly, not to be confused with Justin Cavender.
Same person.
Nope. He said, what does he say? Does he even have a movie? This fucking guy.
I don't know. Did you?
I think he just popped up to say, hey, I'm not Justin.
He didn't even give me a movie. You're killing me, Jeremy. You had one job.
We're still not convinced.
Are you looking in a mirror as you yell this?
Yeah, pretty much. So let's just skip ahead. We'll say that his favorite movie was Suicide Squad. That's your punishment, Jeremy, for fucking up my little topic.
Your alter ego has terrible taste.
Yes, the worst. Jared. Jeff the Mighty Jared Muller. So far, Ghostbusters, .. It has been a shitty summer up until now, unless you count Civil War, but that was a spring release. I disagree. I'm calling April the beginning of summer, for the sake of movies. That kicks off the summer blockbuster.
Whether it
be spring or not, April kicks off summer.
What?
Yeah. Or no, it was May. It came out in May, right?
Yeah, but it came out May 4th. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, traditionally it would be like
Memorial weekend would kick off.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
so
but we can't have that anymore. Yeah, so it's May. May 1st, for all I give a shit, is kicking off summer. Not April. I don't know why I said April. It was in my head. But I think that Civil War was the perfect stepping stone for our summer releases.
Sure. It's your list.
It is. It's my game. It's not even a game. This is for realsies. Andrew Kendall, he says, I believe Captain America Civil War falls in the first week for summer releases. Oh, there you go, right there. So it should count. Otherwise, The Shallows. Ooh, that was the one with Blake Lively where she's being terrorized by a shark.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was scary. And she's like FaceTiming while the shark's like doing like photo bombs in the back. Ooh.
I like that. I like the
shark's like, hey,
I'm gonna eat y'all now.
Oh, I love that movie. I thought it was fantastic. It was good. Good times. Let's see who else. We have fucking Ken Stoltz, who's also a big listener to the Comic Corner podcast. He says, I gotta say, Finding Dory was my favorite of the summer. Finding Dory, Dave.
It's a great movie. I'm not fighting. You're the assholes who don't see these movies.
We don't have kids. Finding Dory is a kid movie.
It's a good movie.
No, that's impossible.
So just because it's PG, you can't see it?
No, it's because it's a fucking fish that gets lost over and over and over again is why I can't see it.
It's a fucking
fish. You're in a goddamn fishbowl. How hard is it?
I don't think I think this is the first time she got lost.
And then they ended up in a house and in the kitchen. It seemed like it was the first movie again, but they superimposed Dory over Nemo.
No, I don't think that's
any concept.
Nope. Sigourney Weaver disagrees with you.
I saw it. Does she find her? Did A Did it have a happy ending? Did she find what she was looking for? And then there was the credits?
She did find what she was looking for.
It's the same movie.
But then it wasn't credits.
There was no credits?
No. Then there was a car chase.
Car chase with the fish?
Car chase with
underwater.
With the sweet Ed O'Neill as Hank the ornery octopus.
Oh my god. Al Bundy?
It's wonderful.
That sounds wonderful. Let's see.
But the light.
Heather Antos, who is a former writer for Geek Legacy, she is now an associate editor over at fucking Marvel. She makes the comic books. She says The Nice Guys.
There you go.
That's a good choice.
You like that one? That's the one with Russell Crowe?
And why didn't you watch that one? It was not an animated movie.
I don't know. I wanted to see it. It was on my list.
It was out for like 2 weeks.
I remember talking about it. I remember when I saw the trailer. I talked about it on the show. I was like, oh my god, it's this awesome trailer, and I really want to see it, but I never got around to it.
You would love it's Shane Black's love letter to like all the 80s and 90s action movies that he wrote.
I like those movies.
Yeah.
The Lethal Weapons and the Last Boy Scouts.
Yeah, Last Boy Scout and all that stuff.
Alright.
It made me very excited for his Predator film.
Is it a comedy?
The Nice Guys?
No, the new Predator film.
No, it's not.
Is it going to be like a buddy cop with Arnold and the Predator?
No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be let's fucking murder everybody in this R-rated gore fest.
Let's see. Mr. Stephen Alvawood of Flipping the Nerd says, congrats on the awesome milestone. Civil War, again with Civil War, and The Conjuring 2.
Oh, there you go. Also a good
horror. He's into the horror films, that one.
Yeah.
He likes zombies and horror and face slashing and serial killers. Remember, we thought he was a serial killer because he's got the three names.
Everything's too nice and pretty in Canada, so he's got to ugly it up with his cinema.
Yeah, got to murder fools. Let's see. Miss Zombrigitte, she says Captain America Civil War. Boom. I think that's the big winner tonight.
So far.
Yeah. Oh, and Ken Stoltz went on to say that he thought that Ellen DeGeneres and Ed O'Neill were hilarious.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
You'll never know. But
I'll watch it. Ugh. That's probably stupid, but I'll watch it. For you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I have a vested interest in your enjoyment of Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. I'll review it for the site. How about that?
Do it.
All right, now on my end, I've got two votes for something that's not technically a movie.
What the fuck is wrong with your friends?
Ghostbusters?
No. So, Dwayne Smith and Mark Huber, who are both Star Wars collectors, I met at Celebration last year, they both vote for Stranger Things, even though it's not technically a movie, but that gets their vote for the best entertainment in the summer of 2016. And I'm actually going to agree with them on this. Because you could sit down and
share your
like
favorite summer 2016 movie.
But personally, myself, if I were going to be nailed down to a single movie, I would say if we're starting it in May, I would say Civil War. If we're not counting that because it's ridiculous and it didn't come out technically during summer, I would say Star Trek Beyond.
I like Star Trek Beyond.
It was a damn good movie.
Hmm.
But the Nice Guys that's a good alternate.
An alternate? In case it gets sick. In case Star Trek can't make it. Yeah, the ship don't fly.
They don't have a ship blown up, spoiler.
Yeah, but then they have a little baby ship capsule and they add water and then over the course of 3 days it gets really big in a jar and it turns into a ship again. Do you remember those little sponge dinosaurs and shit? They're little pills. You put them in water.
That's how babies are born now.
I know. Isn't that crazy? You just put a semen in a cup and add water, and then you get a kid.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Science. It says sea monkeys when you mail away for it, but you get a kid.
Yeah, babies. What about you, Justin? What's your favorite movie this summer?
I don't know if I fucking have one, man. I was trying to think of one before the show, but Civil War was pretty good until the end. I hated the ending. I thought the ending was so dumb, and Maybe I'll say Ninja Turtles. Fuck it. I like Ninja Turtles.
No shame.
Oh, that's good. My man.
My man.
What about you, Dave? I'm curious.
I like movies.
You like the dumb ones. You like the ones with...
Like what dumb one do I like, Justin?
I don't know. That one where it took like 20 years to film them, get the family.
You're talking about Boyhood?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever said any good things about that.
Lincoln. You liked Lincoln.
Well, Lincoln's an amazing film. Have you seen Lincoln?
No.
Oh, I liked Warcraft too. That was a fun surprise. And you said that, you called that an absolute marvel of storytelling. If that doesn't make the cut for best movie of the summer, I don't know what does.
It is not my favorite movie this summer. I don't know. Nice Guys is probably up there. BFG is up there, and Pete's Dragon is up there. Those are all amazing films that nobody saw. Pop Star is also on there that nobody saw. It's also good. People are not seeing these awesome movies. They're watching.
Why is that?
Suicide Squad and complaining about it.
Yeah. Why is that? If since movies are so expensive, why are we choosing to go see the shitty movies instead of the good ones?
Because when you go into your movie theater, there's a tiny poster for Nice Guys, and there's like a 36-foot-long cardboard statue cutout for Suicide Squad.
And that means to go see that.
And then you turn on the TV, and there's, Nice Guys is an R-rated film, so you know it's kind of got advertising restrictions, so you don't see it as much in your face. But DC is going to make sure that you know exactly the minute Suicide Squad comes out. They just market it better, I guess.
Yeah, it's got to spend the monies.
Yeah, and Nice Guy's a hard movie to market, because it's not your traditional genre film.
It's a period piece.
Yeah, it's a period piece. It's R-rated. It's not based off of an established property, so it doesn't have name recognition. It's got Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, which at least are recognizable names. But Shane Black, they're really... really trying to phrase him as from the director of Iron Man 3. Remember that Iron Man you didn't like? But it's actually pretty good.
I liked Iron Man 3.
Did you like it the first time you watched it?
No, I guess not. I liked parts. It was just hard to process. It was a summer movie, but it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite understand that. I think my brain was just having a freak out with that, trying to deal with it. And then maybe I didn't even notice it at the time, but one of you two brought up that any asshole could have been in the Iron Man suit because he was just doing remote control.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really care for him having the surgery to remove what makes him unique, and having the sweet, what do you call it?
Arc reactor.
Arc reactor deal taken out or whatever. That kind of bothered me. And then... I didn't like Gwyneth Paltrow saving the day.
Yeah.
Because you're anti-women.
No.
Hate them.
I love women. They're so nice. But it reminded me of Batman and Robin when Alicia Silverstone says, "No, I got you." You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. They're going to say, "Sue me up, Uncle Alfred."
I like that line better, but either way, Ninja Turtles is the best. Bomb.
Fantastic choice there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we can all agree that the summer's been pretty disappointing.
Pretty shitty, man. Independence Day wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either.
Yeah, it just was kind of a letdown. Suicide Squad was a letdown. Independence Day was just kind of meh. Ghostbusters had, its third act problems. X-Men Apocalypse was terrible. Jason Bourne was just more of the same. Tarzan was pretty good. Warcraft was fine. Sausage Party was good. Alice Through the Looking Glass, that just bombed to no end. Nobody saw that movie. Less people saw that movie than Nice Guys. So just a weird summer. Got War Dogs coming out this week.
What do you think? Do you think that there's just too many movies coming out, or do you think not enough movies? How do you feel about that? I feel like it would be more exciting if there was one movie a month and we all got to go. It was a big to-do, like how when there's a show on Broadway where it's the hot ticket in town and you gotta go see it and you dress nice to go to the theater. I think that would be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to say what I think the problem is, I think it's the diversity in the types of films that we're getting. Almost every movie that came out this summer was a PG-13 action movie that devolved into a cartoon in the third act. I mean, it's just, this is the way studios are making movies now. You know, there's not, you know, we used to get, you know, X amount of comedies. We'd get like the $30 to $50 million drama. You know, we'd get a couple horror flicks. We'd get the high end action movies. We'd get like, you know, your thriller action movies, you know, stuff based off of like adult books. And now it's a lot of the action movies are very similar in tone and in scope. It's almost like a paint by numbers. You know, we have to have this many characters, this many protagonists, this many antagonists. The antagonist has to be this strong. And then in the third act, no matter how much we spend on character building, it has to devolve into just like a mess of action that ends with a giant explosion to where we think everyone's dead. But in the end, the good guys come out victorious and enter popular song to play over the credits while we see something cute happening in the sidebar.
Mm. Sounds about right.
And so I just think people are getting tired of it. There's just not a lot of diversity out there.
Hmm.
So maybe they need more movies. And even movies that are, you know, would be like a standard, like tentpole comedy, like a Ghostbusters, you know, they try to make it more formulaic. You know, they don't just, it seems like there's a lot more meddling from the studio level. And we got that a lot this year. We got that with, you know, Suicide Squad. We got that with Batman v Superman. We got that with Ghostbusters. We got that with X-Men. We're just getting to where it's becoming less of an artist's medium and more of a business medium, which is fine. I understand that movies have to make money, but, you know, if you're not Christopher Nolan, you're going to have to put up with a lot of compromises in your vision. And Christopher Nolan's only making, you know, one movie every 2 or 3 years. But everyone else just seems so beholden to the business aspect of filmmaking.
Well, they want to keep making movies.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, you know, for whatever, you know, Christopher Nolan made Dark Knight. And so it's like, okay, here's your blank check, Christopher Nolan. We'll do this until you fuck up. You know, I mean, sooner or later, he'll have a giant disaster and then he'll have to be taken down a peg and he'll have to have some form of oversight. But I mean, at this point,
that's kind of a negative way of looking at it.
I mean, but I mean, it's true. I mean, at this point, I mean, Warner Brothers is in the business of making Christopher Nolan movies and he has a proven track record. You know, his last, you know, 7 films have been enormous successes and he clearly understands what people want to see while melding that with an artistic vision that is purely his own, you know, and I think that if some other filmmakers, you know, take it like someone like a James Wan or, you know, someone like that, I think that they could be at that same level as a Christopher Nolan, but they're not going to be given the chance to. So it's like this catch-22. They could do it, but they have to earn it, but they can't earn it because they're never going to be allowed to just do it.
Hmm.
It's kind of like the whole thing with like Ghost in the Shell. It's where everyone was bitching that Scarlett Johansson was doing it, because this role would be a breakout role for an Asian American or an Asian actress, but they won't give it to an Asian actress because there is no A-list Asian actress. But this movie is the movie that would create said A-list actress. Mm-hmm. And it's just this weird dichotomy.
Yeah. But I'm at the end of the day, Ghost in the Shell is an anime and that has a very specific demographic and on its best day, it's quite possible that it doesn't become a huge box office success.
Yeah. I mean, and
I think it'll be like on the scale of Dread. You know, it could have been an amazing movie, but nobody went and saw it.
Right. But with Ghost in the Shell, you know, those hardcore anime fans aren't going to make that movie a success. There's not enough out there. You know, it's the same thing we were talking about when we're talking about Warcraft, that it has to appeal to the masses. They have to be able to sell it to aunts and uncles and grandmas and brothers and little sisters and uncles. You know, it's not enough for, I love Ghost in the Shell, the movie, I'm going to go watch it, but if I'm going to go by myself on Friday because, you know, my wife doesn't want to see it and my brother doesn't want to see it, no one else wants to see it, you know, to make money now, if they're going to spend all this money on it, you got to.
But how do you make that movie? How do you make Ghost in the Shell appeal to all the audiences?
Well, I mean,
Are they doing it by putting in a white actress? Is that what they think is doing it?
I mean, yeah, you're putting in, you know, the short of Jennifer Lawrence, probably the most recognizable and successful actress out there right now. They can throw her all over the poster. You know, people know her. They identify with her. They could make a snappy trailer. They basically want to sell this as a Scarlett Johansson action movie, not an adaptation of Ghost in the Shell, because the second someone hears, like, that's not interested in Ghost in the Shell, that this is like an anime adaptation, they're going to be like, oh, that's what the weird Japanese with the tentacles. I don't want to see this. But if they put together a kick-ass trailer with Scarlett Johansson just annihilating people, then that becomes this cool, like chick action film. And, like, people can get behind that. Like, I'd be, like I loved Lucy, you know, she was awesome in that. You know, if they sell it, you know, kind of like that, I think that's how they can rationalize whitewashing the role by making it like, yes, this is based off Ghost in the Shell. We're going to get people who love the anime to come see this, but now we have to sell it to the rest of the world. This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Take Edge of Tomorrow or die, live, die, repeat. You know, that's based off of a popular anime, but most people going into it had no idea. Mm-hmm. They just thought, hey, it's this cool Tom Cruise action movie with Emily Blunt.
I love that movie.
Yeah, and it was a great success. But it wasn't marketed to you as like an adaptation of All You Need Is Kill.
Right. No, I agree.
But when it goes to Japan, they're going to plaster the shit out of, you know, adaptation of All You Need Is Kill or adaptation of Ghost in the Shell.
But I think by numbers-wise, Lucy might have performed better over its budget than Edge of Tomorrow did.
I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's possible. Edge of Tomorrow was a success because they're doing a sequel.
Yeah. But Lucy cost like $8 to make.
It did. Luc Besson is cheap. Mm-hmm. Did you see Lucy?
Yeah.
It's a fun film. It's a little weird at points.
My biggest complaint, which isn't even that big of a complaint, but I get that she can be fast and she can type really fast, but there isn't a computer that can move as fast as she wants it to.
Right.
Like, we are faster than computers, and the computer was running really, really quickly.
Right.
And that's just cheese dick.
I agree with you.
She doesn't have to wait 30 seconds for her YouTube ad to finish before she can watch her video.
Well, I don't want to wait 5 seconds to skip it.
Sometimes you got to wait for a whole 30 seconds.
The ESPN is the fucking worst. So ESPN, they do all these little clips that are like 45-second clips, but you have to watch a 30-second ad before you can watch them. Yeah. And so I have to watch a 30-second ad to watch like a 40-second clip. And it's so... And then at the end, it's like, oh, watch this next. Oh, yeah, I want to watch that. I click on that. I got to watch another 30-second ad. And it's just always the same exact ad. It's like, fuck you, ESPN. I'll turn on my cable, I guess.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
But I think that's it.
Cool. Sorry for my little State of Hollywood diatribe.
Man, it's 200th episode. You have the right to do so. This is your show.
Shit. Anything else, Dad? I think Randy's already tabbed out and is...
He's in the world. Slaying
fools in Azeroth, but...
I'm actually not at the moment.
What? Lies. You must have done it all. What about you? We got anything, Justin? Or Randy?
Nada.
Nada? What about you, Justin? Anything to say on our 200th episode?
Just that I love you both very much, and I'm sad that Amanda wasn't here, but that's okay. We will keep on keeping on. But no, I hope that we do this for another 200 episodes. You guys are fantastic.
Thanks.
You're better than that Stephen K. James.
You're pretty great, Mr. too.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yo. I see myself more as the thing of this group.
Yeah. It's clobbering time.
Yes, it is.
Did he say that in the new Fantastic Four movie?
Yeah, that's what his older brother used to say before he abused him.
Oh. That's kind of dark.
It is.
they took it a real dark direction.
Yeah. Before Ben Grimm's older brother would beat him up for seemingly no reason, he would say it's clobbering time.
Wow.
That's that's what they made the origin in Fanforstic.
Fancy, bro.
That movie's not good. Neither one of you seen it?
Mm-mm. Oh, I saw it.
He saw it twice.
I lived it. Yeah. Only once.
He's a big fan of that Miles Teller there.
Oh, God. He's in that War new Dogs. Movie with...
War Dogs.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill got big again.
Yeah.
In weight, not in popularity.
Yeah. I'm excited. I love Todd Phillips' movies.
I didn't like Hangover 3 or 2.
Yeah, it was all right. It was four once. Three was bad, though.
One was amazing, and Road Trip is fantastic.
Yeah, and Old School's
amazing.
Yeah. I could watch Old School any day, like on constant loop.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I'll give it a try. It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah.
I think he's a little too... I think he's trying to distance himself from the frat comedies that he's been doing, and I think he kind of wants to tackle a more serious issue, but I'm hoping it still has his, you know, signature comedy and that he's in there doing something gross like he always does.
Yeah, he's a clever guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll figure things out.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, fun episode, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us, and make sure you listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We got the Pixelated podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James. They're over 100 episodes. They're just rocking and rolling there, like probably 110 or so. That doesn't matter.
I don't know. We haven't had one in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
James is fucking wimping out on me.
Get your shit together, Stephen.
He's fired. Don't even bother, Stephen. You're fired.
Hey, anyone interested? There's a vacancy in the Pixelated podcast. Send your interest to Justin at Geek Legacy. Actually, send it to Info Geek Legacy so we can all check it out.
Send it to Steven so he can find out that he's fired. Yeah.
Send it to Steven at yahoo.sbcglobal.net. And but no, that's a well. I was gonna say it's a great show, but apparently we're transitioning hosts now. And then you got the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and Jeff. Where they talk about comics on their pull list. It's a great time to get in with the whole Civil War event, you know, just now getting into full swing and with Rebirth kicking off. And they'll give you a refresher, let you know like what you need to read, what you can skip. And this week I'm on it, and we're talking Suicide Squad with the Mighty Jerd. And I'd love you to everyone to listen to it and then tweet Jerd who you thought won the fight. So yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and tell all your friends about us because we like to have new friends.